Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today. We are grateful to have Ocusoft as a sponsor of our show. Since 1986, Ocusoft has served the community with a unique selection of proprietary brands, from dry eye care and protection with Retain line of artificial tears to eyelid hygiene with Ocusoft Lid Scrub Eyelid Cleansers essential for maintaining healthy eyes. Zoria Skincare from Ocusoft offers revolutionary products for people with sensitive skin and eyes. Thank you to Ocusoft for being the number one doctor-recommended brand of eyelid cleansers and providing patients and doctors with products and supplies to continue to keep our eyes healthy. Welcome, everyone. It's Dr. April Jasper here with Dr. Fraser Horn. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So I guess we should tell them where we are, actually. So we are in Boston.
Yes.
At
the Brain and Ocular Nutrition Conference, or known as the BON Conference.
It's so much fun, too, because we get to hear from so many different people. Many of them, well, let's just say all of them smarter than me, but Fraser was actually a presenter. So we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But why don't we start with you telling everybody who you are, what you're currently up to, and don't tell me your height. That's not what I meant. And then tell us what's coming next for you.
Yeah, wonderful. So I am actually currently the dean at Pacific University College of Optometry out in Forest Grove, Oregon, right outside of Portland, where I've been there for just over 20 years on faculty and then administration and that. So it's been a true honor. I'm also currently the president of the Associations of Schools and Colleges of Optometry. So that's been also a big honor. And then the other thing I do is, or the, that I'm about to do is actually embark on a fun adventure of we're moving to Waterford, Ireland to set up a BSc optometry program at Southeast Technological University.
So there was a lot in there.
Yes.
First of all, ASCO,
that
is incredible. Yeah. Thank you for all you do there.
Thank you. Yeah.
My daughter's in optometry school, so I can't even imagine how much work it is for all of you as deans to manage all of that and make sure our kids are trained well. So thank you for that.
It's a team effort, trust me. And it's such a great team. The deans and presidents work so well together, so it makes it that much easier.
And then what was the third? Oh, Waterford.
Yes.
So if anybody loves Crystal... They have the best crystal, but I know it's not about that. So let's keep going.
Yes.
So let's fast forward to what you did yesterday here at BON, the Brain and Ocular Nutrition Conference. So Fraser, you presented a whole, like, I don't know, it was amazing. So tell everybody what it was. So first, let's start with the title.
Yes.
Go
so
ahead.
It was visual skills and life meter
with division.
Yes, with division three athletes.
I was going to say it's
results.
Listen,
yes.
You had to explain because remember, people that are here at the conference are international.
Right.
So I love that Fraser started out with explaining what division three athletes are.
Yes. Yeah. So we, I mean, and it's interesting because as you know, we have people that are solid researchers, MDs, optometrists. So there's things that us as optometrists, we take for granted that's part of our language. So we had to explain a lot of that that's going on. So,
well, you did a great job.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
So one of the things I want to start with this that stood out to me, and I'll read the quote because I'm not an athlete in any way, shape or form, but you said I am. So what Fraser said is that if you have a body, you are an athlete.
Yes.
I guess it didn't come from you, though.
No, it came from Bill Bowerman, the co-founder of Nike. So when we used to consult with Nike, that was our biggest thing, is everybody's an athlete. Whether and my line is whether you're an elite athlete or a competitive cross-stitcher at the nursing home, you're an athlete. So our job is to maximize visual performance to help you with your with whatever you're doing.
So how long have you, Fraser, been in that field of optometry? Ooh.
Probably started actually as an undergraduate. So Dr. Alan Ryko and our team was doing work with Nike and doing other sports vision research. And when I was an undergrad, they brought me in. So I did that a little bit in undergrad, then mainly in optometry school. And since then.
And you loved it. So continued even as dean.
Yes. Yes. Still see athletes and work with it. We have an amazing team at Pacific that does so much with sports vision that we work with Division III athletes as well as professional athletes.
Wow. That's incredible. Well, let's jump into this conversation you had with all these researchers, which were you at all nervous?
Yeah. I mean, of course I get nervous for any lecture. I mean, I think a little bit of nerves is good.
That's
just to keep you on the game.
That's right. You don't want to act like you know everything.
I definitely
even
don't
though
know
you
everything.
Might.
No, I definitely do not.
So talk about the data that you presented. Yes. How did you collect it?
Yes.
And what were the highlights?
Yeah. So we have an amazing sports medicine team. Eric Pitcannon is the head athletic trainer, and now he's the director of the sports medicine team. We met and we had an opportunity to actually screen all athletes coming in. So all freshmen or transfer athletes, student athletes come in and we screen their vision.
Now, who is we?
So it's myself, Dr. Graham Erickson helps out, Dr. Aaron Salzano, Dr. Matthew Trong, and others, and our optometry students.
Yes. I love that. Yes,
it's with our sports vision club that we have.
Okay.
So we literally have students who haven't even gone to their first class that are helping us because we start in August. And a lot of them have been techs or other things. So they're wonderful to come
That's
in
awesome.
And just learn. Yeah.
All right. So what tests are you screening?
Yeah.
I mean, what tests are you doing and what are you screening for?
Yes. So it's going to sound for us in optometry like it's really basic. It's case history, autorefractor, and then all the entrance skills. So visual acuity, cover test, peripheral visions, confrontational visual fields, near point of convergence, looking at extraocular motilities, pupils, and then we do autorefractor and then life meter, which is a skin carotenoid test.
Now that one has been added recently, right?
Yes, just this past year.
Okay. Yeah. So what added value does that life meter measurement have?
Yes. So we know through all the studies that I'm not a part of, all these amazing people are doing, that improved carotenoid results or improved carotenoids, especially macular pigment, you have better contrast sensitivity, better eye-hand reaction time, short-term memory, glare recovery, and more. Now, skin carotenoids is our way to assess what's your level. Right. So how much carotenoids do you have in your body that then correlates to how your macular pigment density, essentially?
So big question. Yeah. How did these athletes do?
Not great. Right. But I think that's the general population is
right.
that we found the average was around 280. And
which
we want
very low,
which
right?
is very low. Yes.
We would
love
you want?
A score of 400 or above. So they were definitely in the suboptimal, not in a great place, which I'm guilty of. I'm in the same boat at times. So it was one of those where what we talk about is we have an opportunity now.
That's
right?
good.
We found a number. How can we get you to a higher number? And so we talk about supplementation and other ways their diet can help with increasing that number.
So I heard you say, and I loved this too, that it's important how you tell a patient, or in this case, these athletes,
yes.
that their number wasn't so good.
Oh yeah, it's critical. So athletes, as much as they sometimes want to be the tough person on campus, they're also really conscious of feedback and how we give feedback. So that's why we talk about opportunities. How can we improve visual performance? Hey, we've got an opportunity to maybe help you with timing. When it comes to the skin or the skin carotenoid numbers and the macular pigment, it's easy because we can discuss, we want to improve that number,
yep.
or we want to help with glare recovery. We want to help with these various areas. And it's fairly easy. Let's go ahead and start this supplement.
That's good. Does anybody give you any grief about starting a supplement?
No. The question, the hard thing is just like any of us, when we're giving them, whether it's glaucoma treatment or
right.
anything like that, it's the compliance piece that you're hoping they do. And how do I make it part of their regular lifestyle?
So we heard some other conversations about concussion. So
yes.
we might touch on that
yes.
for a moment, but that's one of the screening questions you ask mm-hmm. them, isn't it? How
yes.
many have had a concussion?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So those that are willing to admit, because we know that if we ask, have you ever had a concussion? They say, no. It's kind of like if a police officer goes, do you ever speed? No, I never speed.
Do you ever drink?
Yeah, no, no. But how many concussions have you had? We do find quite a bit.
Different yeah. question, different
yes.
answer.
Yes. And so, I mean, there's roughly, 20 to 30% that said yes, but we know it's higher than that. What's interesting is the average was 1.6 concussions reported. So a low of one, but a high of, we had one individual that had 6 concussions coming in.
Oh,
so that's
my
from
gosh.
High school. Coming into undergraduate.
Are you looking for a nutritional supplement to help with your day-to-day vision needs? Look no further than MacuHealth. Recommended by doctors worldwide, MacuHealth offers a full line of products designed to support your vision and eye health. Available through eye care professionals on Amazon.com and directly on our website at MacuHealth.com. And here's the best part. Use the code OME24 when ordering direct from MacuHealth for special discounts. MacuHealth, nutrition you can see.
Wow. Now let's talk about these athletes, because I think a lot of people mistakenly believe, and people, I mean parents, maybe a lot of us, that the only sport you're in danger with as far as a concussion is football, American football.
Right.
But you had other athletes.
Oh, yes. No, it's all over the place. And studies actually support this. So American football is obviously high, but so is women's soccer, right? Cheerleading's actually pretty high as well for concussion, because they're trying stunts. And if they miss the catch, and what the other thing can be just a jarring event, you don't have to hit anything. Somebody hits the body and your brain isn't ready and your head snaps. Now that brain inside, you know, hits the side of the skull and we've got a concussion.
Wow. So, what percentage? So we'll come back to concussions in a minute. What percentage of people in all of the data that you had collected over the years have had an eye exam before you see them?
Yes. So it, funny enough, even for Division III athletes, it's very similar in pro sports. So it was just over 20% have never had an eye exam, if I look at it that way. And then if you self-reported for those that were 2 years or more since their last eye exam, was about another 14%. So it was 36% of athletes have not had an eye exam within the last 2 years.
That's incredible. So, I mean, honestly, right there, if you think about it, that's a public awareness kind of message, isn't it?
Definitely. Yes. And think about how many of those have maybe a little bit of myopia.
Wow.
Right. And they were playing high school sports. And if we could have gotten to them in high school, could that have improved their performance on the field, which may have given them more opportunities for other, maybe even Division II colleges.
Right. So I think I remember you saying something about those patients with myopia and glasses. Did you make a comment about that? Tell everybody
did.
About that. Do they wear their glasses?
Right. So they'll wear their glasses. A lot of them, when we ask, do you wear glasses? They say, yes. What do you use them for? And they may say driving. We go, great. So what about sports?
Right.
Contact lens for sports? No, I only need them for driving. So they don't correlate the fact that that is to help their distance vision. And in sports, so much is about distance. And they nobody's drawn that bridge over to like, this can help you with your sports performance as well as your driving performance.
So you go from screening these athletes to being able to completely make a difference in their life and bring them positive change in their sport.
Yes.
They can start wearing glasses.
Yes.
They can supplement. Oh, and talk a little bit, Fraser, about the fact that we talked a little about concussions.
Yes.
Why does it matter that you know about that early on, and pupil measurements? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So a lot of the stuff we do is relative to, or related to VOMS. And so that's the vestibular ocular. I forgot the other two. So that's bad. I should remember those.
I don't know. Don't ask me.
It's fine. It's a series of tests that you can run. There is actually a test in there that's vestibular ocular motion sensitivity. But these screenings give us a baseline. So we know that about 20% of the population have a slight unequal pupil size or anisocoria. So we want to know that on the front end, because inevitably they're the ones that get the concussion. And when the athletic trainer looks and sees that size difference, we want to know, is that normal for them or is that because of the concussion? So now do we have a nerve impact versus not? We also look at, you know, near point of convergence, eye movements, all of those pieces, and those can all be affected post-concussion.
Wow. Okay. So you went through this data yesterday. I think I was watching the audience. I think everybody was really just amazed at the fact that, first of all, that optometrists even do this.
Right.
So that was one big, you know, moment of truth for a lot of the people in the, in the audience. The next thing I think that was interesting to most of us was the fact that these people coming in have never had eye exams.
Right.
They don't know anything about what's going on. Their strategy seems to be more, let's pretend it didn't happen.
Right.
But what other things, what did people come up saying to you afterwards? What stood out to a lot of the group?
A variety of things have come up already. So whether it's just people saying, can you come and talk to our groups to explain the role of vision and performance?
Wow.
To even, there was a question during it saying, well, supplements, is that doping? Right.
Or how
do we do that?
So you guys have to know when Fraser, if you could have seen your face, somebody said, well, I don't understand if you're giving them supplements, isn't that considered doping? And I just kind of did this and I looked at you and you went, doping?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So
what was your answer? Yeah, you did a great job.
Yeah. So the key is that there are certain supplements that are approved, but they go through a rigorous testing. So things like NSF Sports Certified. So that's the key. So when we work with professional and collegiate teams, that's one of our discussions is when we bring up supplements, it's this is NSF Sports Certified. So you're okay, because they do look at banned substances. And that's a real thing. They'll do blood testing.
Wow.
So we don't want to be the ones that all of a sudden gets an athlete in trouble.
I love that. And honestly, I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. So that's a very good point to make with parents.
Yes.
So now let's take it to me. And that's what mm-hmm. I want to do before you leave me. We're going to come to Ireland and talk
absolutely.
Again.
Please. Is that please okay?
Do. 100%. I need some more crystal.
Yeah.
But let's take it back to the clinician like myself. Yep. I'm in practice seeing patients of all ages.
Right.
I'm learning so much more even at the conference this week on the things I need to be talking about, which a lot of it, I'll ask you in a minute to kind of give me your thoughts. But now how do I take your information that you presented and use it for me in clinical practice?
Right. Great. So I think there's many ways. Some of it is just what you already do, knowing what your patients do for fun and just bridging that gap. Saying, hey, we're testing this. We're testing our side vision because we know that it can put you at an increased risk for concussion.
That's good.
If you're not being aware of that.
Yep.
And then it's just having the conversations of, in addition, let's look at single-use contact lenses. Let's look at supplements to make sure we can improve your contrast sensitivity in other areas. So it's just drawing that gap. And then it's also talking to them about, do you have kids? Have they, you know, as much as they may see great, let's get them a baseline eye exam. So it's just that patient education that I will tell you optometrists do such a great job with.
But you know what? I think that you could have been a practice management instructor, Frazier, because what you just did was helped all of us to piece it together and say, nobody should have an issue with not having enough eye exams in their practice. Nobody should have any problems helping their patients to see the value of nutraceuticals.
Yes.
It's all right there. We just have to connect the dots, and
absolutely.
That's what you're doing. So
absolutely.
Thank you. But before you go, give me your, what are your highlight moments? The things that made you say, about the conference so far?
Yeah, there's been a couple. I mean, because it's fun. We were talking about this earlier, that we are learning from our colleagues from across different disciplines. And it's fascinating. There's some that get really deep into the science that I know nothing about.
Right.
I mean, we're seeing these polymerase chains, and I'm, having flashbacks of undergrad and going, oh,
and somebody even had a molecule up there and said, isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
And I went, oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. I appreciate that there's been some, they had a study where they brought in exercise and they even showed the compliance was not good. And I appreciate the fact that
they're
scientists
honest.
Show, this is the real life science, right? And this is what happens to change someone's habits is really tough. So I appreciated that. And I think the other piece, we had the doctor from Harvard talking about, nutrition and processed foods and all those things, and really broke it down simply to say, one portion of cheese, one portion of meat, and then the rest is all veggies, nuts, whole grains, that type of thing. Kept it very simple, and it was wonderful.
His diet is called the lifestyle. Wait a minute. What's the name of his diet? And he published it. He's got several books. Oh, the Planetary Health Diet.
Yes.
I had never heard of it. I
Me
felt
neither.
Very, let's say, bad. I'll just use that word.
Yes.
Because apparently it was published in 2019, and he called it a flexitarian diet.
Yes. Yes. But I think this is the beauty of coming to continued education.
Yes.
Right? Is every once in a while we learn something. Well, often I'm learning something
Me
that
too.
I'm going, oh my gosh, yes, even if it's just a different perspective, but that was a piece that we can use for our patients who have diabetes.
Yep.
Patients, that need we need to have those conversations about lifestyle.
I love it.
Yeah.
Frazier, thank you for
thank
being
you.
Here and congratulations.
Thank
and
you so much.
I know you're moving soon, so just know from David and I and all of our listeners, we can't wait to watch all the things that you do
Absolutely.
That are going to be incredible over there in Ireland.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.